Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. You know I'm a big fan of enjoying life while still being smart financially. That's why I love ButcherBox. I can get a variety of high-quality meat, seafood, chicken, and pork at an amazing value, all with exclusive member deals delivered to my door with free shipping always. One thing I just never wanted to cut out of my spending plan is eating good food. And with ButcherBox, I don't have to, and neither do you. Where else can you get free protein for a whole year? Yes, you heard that right. One of my favorite go-to dinners is a salmon bowl. I'm not even a huge salmon lover, but ButcherBox's wild-caught salmon is oh so good. I make a nice little marinade, saute some veggies, cook the salmon, and throw in some Weiss. And it is an amazing dinner. If you want to take less trips to the grocery store and always have prepared meat in the freezer for a lot less money, you need ButcherBox in your life. Sign up at butcherbox.com/ETM and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/ETM. So it's summer, you may have light hours, maybe you even have a Friday off, and you're trying to figure out, how do I actually get my money in check this summer? I'm Shauna Compton-Game, this is Millennial Money, and today we're talking your summer money checklist and a happy birthday lightning round.
Millennial Money with Shauna Compton-Game. It will expand your brain.
It's my birthday! Happy birthday to me. I'm normally not like this. I'm normally fairly humble when it comes to my birthdays, but this year, you know, it feels like the right time to celebrate. I have had so many different ups and downs over the last year. A lot of them I have talked about on this podcast. I have struggled with depression and anxiety the last few years. And last year, it felt like a monster grip on me. And at the same time, the podcast was booming. Things were going great. So many great career things happen. And it's so weird to me that life can be like that, that you've got this like one track that everything is going great and amazing, and this other track that just feels like shit. There's really no other way to put it. And I struggled this last year with those two different emotions and really felt like I spent most of the year kind of in this brain fog. If you've ever struggled with depression and anxiety, you know what I'm talking about. I just I couldn't see out, and every single thing affected me. I mean, I would cry at the most ridiculous things, and somewhere around December, we were actually at a mall shopping, and we went in this store that had all these dogs, and I have been like the biggest anti-dog person. I love cats. I've had cats. My very, very favorite cat, her name was Sophie. She was just beautiful, like this white fluffy fur, and she had this cute little kind of like gray birthmark on her nose. I loved her. She lived for about 10 years and passed away about 8 years ago. And ever since, I've sort of felt, I don't know, a little, I don't know if empty is the word, but just, I really miss her. And I don't know, we walked in the store with these puppies, and I just looked at this puppy and I looked at Jeff and I was like, that's it. I need a puppy. Like, a puppy is something that, it's like a therapy dog for me, so that I feel like I can, I don't know, I can love something in a different way, and that I can maybe deal with depression and anxiety. And ever since then, I've been completely obsessed, like completely obsessed on Instagram with puppies, puppy pictures. Like, my entire Instagram feed is puppies, because it actually makes me feel better. I can't explain it. There's something about, like, right now I don't have a puppy yet. I'm still kind of in that lusting phase, but I look at these pictures of these puppies and I just feel happy. Like, I feel free. I feel like I can deal with the world. And whenever something kind of like crazy or a crazy thought comes in my head, I look at the puppy picture and I just am, I don't know, I'm like brought back to reality. So that's a really long way to explain. Of course, there were a lot more details that went on in the last year, but that's really where I was and kind of what I was struggling with. And this podcast was like, this podcast is for me like therapy. I don't know what it is about being able to talk to you. I don't know you. I can't see you. We're not sitting having a one-on-one conversation, and yet we are. And I think there's something really cool about that. And you've also embraced that. You've helped build the podcast. You've helped spread the word about the podcast. You help me to do what I do every single time I come back to recording a new podcast episode. And so I just really want to say thank you, because you've kept me in a good place. And so this year, I feel like I'm out of that brain fog. I am not, you know, 100% done with depression and anxiety. And I'm not sure it ever really all goes away, but I feel good. I feel like I'm in a good place. And so I'm really happy about that. And I'm excited to celebrate. And probably as you listen to this episode, we are going to Palm Springs for my birthday to have a couple of days to just relax by the pool. And of course, it's going to be like 117 on my birthday, which is insane. So the only logical thing you can do is just be in the pool and have kind of a frosty drink. And I don't know, that's sort of the way I guess I like celebrating my birthday. So I'm sending you lots of love and joy and happiness on this day, and hopefully you're sending it back to me. So I was inspired for this episode based off an Ask Shauna question, and this question came from Bryce. And Bryce said, "So I know I should be using my summer Friday hours to check some items off my money to-do list, but when I sat down last week to look at my list, it was pretty small. The problem is, I just don't know where to start with money tasks, and I get so overwhelmed that I just don't start. And then things never seem to get done. I'm in my mid-30s, I have a decent job, but I'm still living pretty much paycheck to paycheck. Not because I don't make enough money, I think it's because I'm not really looking at my money each month. It's just the same old every month. I want to feel at least like I've accomplished something with my finances this summer. Can you help give me a little direction, pretty please?" So I love that question, and I thought, why not make a whole episode out of that? I think it makes sense, really, Bryce, to talk through some of the items on this episode to hopefully inspire you to work on your summer money checklist. You know, a lot of you might have summer hours. You may have a light day on Friday. It's a good time to just go through some of these things with your money. It's not going to take a long time. These are like really easy to accomplish items. You don't have to do them all at once. You can pace yourself. You can do things like in 10-minute spurts, you know, whatever you need to do to get through some of these things. And These are just ideas that I'm going to talk about. You can come up with whatever works for you, whatever you want to accomplish this summer, even if it's just like one little tiny thing. That's so great. It's one action, one thing that you've put into practice or into solving or into thinking about, and it's moving you forward whether you feel like you're moving forward or not. So the first thing I think we need to start, which is where I really start with everybody, is to check in on your goals or set them if you don't have any of them. So let me give you a little like cheat sheet on how to check, refine, and work towards your goals. So goals sound like something that are easy, right? But I find a lot of people struggle with the goals because you can easily get stuck in like, this goal has to be permanent. And if I don't accomplish this goal, I'm not successful. And really, goals are quite the opposite. They should be flexible and fluid. So I think where you should start is create a list of short-term. I usually think about short-term as 12 months or less, but you can define your own short-term, long-term goals, and then long-term goals. And make sure you include not only what the goal is, but how much the goal will cost you and what you're going to do to actually achieve that goal. So you need an action plan around the goal. Otherwise, I found they're just a list of things that you want to do that you stare at all the time that you never accomplish. So, you know, whether it's a trip or it's buying a house or even if it's something really simple, what are the actions that you're going to take to achieve that goal? And remember, goals can change from month to month, from week to week, from day to day. So make sure your budget that you have always reflects these changes. It may be better to think of maybe an easy goal you can reach each month rather than setting harder goals that are going to take you longer to accomplish. So if you set these kind of easy goals, then you're going to be more you're going to just have more motivation to go through them, to start checking them off. You're going to start seeing progress. And the way we mentally think about this stuff is when we can start to see progress, that's when we're like, okay, I'm committed to this. I'm committed to doing whatever it takes to achieve this goal. But it's just like debt payoff. If you think about it, if you've ever had to pay off a big amount of debt, you stare at that massive amount of debt and you're making payments, and it feels like nothing is happening. That's why I often suggest, you know, attack your smallest debt first, because you're going to actually see something happening and it does wonders in your brain. It just reignites, I think, the reasoning behind why you're doing this. But you got to find a system that works for you to reach and track your goals. You know, some people find a note posted on the fridge or the bathroom mirror is motivation enough. Others might like a financial app or check-ins, you know, with someone, whether it's a partner, a friend, a financial professional who can really keep you on track. But if you don't regularly engage with your goal, it's just easy to forget about it or to think that it's not going to happen or to give up. So, you know, even if you created a goal list at the beginning of the year, this is such a great time to go back and just look at it and look at it with, you know, I give yourself some grace, I would say. You know, if you look at your list and you're like, wow, I haven't done anything on this list, like, yeah, it's okay. It's not a big deal. At least you looked at the list again. You know what you're trying to achieve and you just start, you know, going forward. I think the next thing on your sum of money checklist that's easy to forget, I find myself forgetting to do this all the time and I have to remind myself so I can remind you, is to check in on your credit score. If you've never looked at your credit score before, now is the time to do it. Just a little primer, credit scores range from 300 to 850. Why does this matter? The better the credit score, the lower the interest rate you're going to get. The lower interest rate you're going to get, the lower amount of money you're going to pay for the whatever you're purchasing, whether it's a house, a car, even for credit cards, they're all going to have interest rates, but better credit scores get lower interest rates. And you tend to have a little bit more negotiating power with the credit card company. So it matters. It matters greatly because if you're overspending for something just because your credit score is bad, it just sets this whole precedent through kind of your financial future. So if you can really work to better your credit score or to understand why your credit score might be affected, then you can change all of the different payments you have. I mean, it really can make a difference in your finances. So a little cheat sheet, some kind of simple credit score cleanup strategies. I want you to bookmark these sites, and these are some great ones where you can check your credit score for free. So Credit Karma, Credit Sesame, you may have heard of those. NerdWallet, we talk about a lot on this podcast. You can even check your score daily without it impacting your credit score. So if you check your credit score, it does not damage your credit score. Only when third party, like let's say you're applying for a loan, you're applying for a student loan, you're applying for a credit card, when they check your credit, it's what's called a hard credit inquiry, and it will impact your credit score, not dramatically, but it will. And the more you have in a short period of the time, the more impact, negative impact, it will have on your credit score. So a little bit more about your credit score after we hear this quick word from our podcast episode sponsor. Big thanks to our podcast episode sponsor, Brooklinen. Okay, let's talk about sleep. I don't know about you, but there are nights where I found myself tossing and turning. I wasn't feeling well rested every day, and it was affecting every part of me when I woke up. I just wasn't being productive. And so a couple of months ago, I thought, you know what? I need to upgrade our nightly routine and find something that is going to help me sleep better. And I have been sleeping on Brooklinen sheets now for a couple of months, and they're awesome. I mean, they're breathable, really soft to the touch. It's like a complete luxury experience without the big markup price, which is what I love. Brooklinen was founded in 2014, actually by a millennial couple, and they really wanted to create the most beautiful and comfy home essentials without those crazy prices. Brooklinen is also the fastest growing bedding brand in the world with over 20,000 five-star reviews of happy sleepers just like me, and they were even named the winner of the best of online bedding category by Good Housekeeping. They have so many colors and patterns to choose from. You can mix and match. That's what we did. We chose a different comforter and different sheets so we can kind of get something a little bit funky, but you have to do yourself a favor and try these sheets because my Brooklinen sheets, they really are the best, most comfortable sheets I have ever slept on. And I'm sleeping so much sounder. I know it sounds crazy, but the sheets, they totally make a difference. Brooklinen.com has an exclusive offer just for my listeners. You can get $20 off and free shipping when you use my promo code MYMONEY at Brooklinen.com. And Brooklinen is so confident that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all their sheets and comforters. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use my promo code MYMONEY at Brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com/MYMONEY. Brooklinen really are the most comfortable sheets. The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless, 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like a million bucks wearing this cozy workout friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/etm for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/etm to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/etm. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know, it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process, helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me, and I got my regular personalized privacy report. I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off. When it comes to financial advice, you gotta trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. I'm sorry, but I have the best dog ever. Her name is Winnie Stardust. She is a mini golden mountain doodle, full of life, and I would do just about anything to keep her happy, healthy, and safe. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. Your pet is part of your family, and you want to do the best for them. But vet bills can really add up. We jokingly keep telling Winnie she needs to get a job to pay for her vet bill. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customized accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you are least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/ETM. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/ETM. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/ETM. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independent American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer, is not engaged in the business of insurance.
Whatever you're saving up for, a CD from Sandy Spring Bank lets you grow your savings at a guaranteed rate. Right now, earn interest at 4.5% APY on an 8-month CD special or 4.25% APY on a 14-month CD special. Learn more at sandyspringbank.com/cdspecials. Minimum opening deposit to earn the annual percentage yield is $500 for the 8-month CD special and $2,500 for the 14-month CD special. Member FDIC.
You can also go to annualcreditreport.com where you can get your credit report for free. You're not actually going to be able to see the score, but you can see the actual details behind your credit. And that can make a big difference because it's really the, you know, it's the behind the scenes of what's going on. So you can understand how you can better your score. So when you're checking your credit report, if you've never checked it before, you really want to take a close look at the delinquent accounts. Those are going to be listed at the top of your report. And hopefully you don't have any, but if you do, you want to make sure those belong to you. And then from there, you're going to go down to the accounts in good standing. Again, a lot of people don't even look at those because they're like, well, there are accounts in good standing, but that is a big mistake. You're going to want to look at the accounts in good standing. I've had this happen to me. I had somebody use my credit and it was an account in good standing, but it didn't belong to me. And so I didn't want it on my credit report and I contacted the credit bureau and got it removed. So just make sure everything makes sense to you. Just a reminder, there are three credit bureaus, TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian. And if you find something on there that isn't yours legitimately, you can dispute it online with one of these credit bureaus ASAP. And I would highly suggest that you do that right away because it can take a little bit of time for them to kind of get it off your credit report and for your score to really rebound and do a lot better. But if you're trying to figure out how to get your score where you want it to be, there are a couple things to think about. To raise your credit score, number one, big thing, just commit to paying your bills on time. If you haven't signed up for autopay, it's a great way to do it. I have all my bills on autopay. Of course, you got to make sure that you can actually afford to have your bills on autopay, but I'm really forgetful. Like, I'm terribly forgetful, even though I know how important this stuff is. And I just had to say, you know what, I've got to put everything on autopay so I don't risk not paying a bill on time. So that's number one. Number two, equally important, is to reduce the amount of credit that you have, that you're using, I should say, to 30% of your available credit. So it's a ratio between available credit and credit used. That number right there, that single number, that 30% number has such power with your credit score. In fact, you can skyrocket your credit score all by yourself. Anywhere from usually 50 to, I've seen like 100 plus points when people actively work to pay down their credit that they're using to under that 30% magical mark. And the closer and closer you get to 30% of credit that you're using versus your available credit, you're going to start to see your score tick up. And usually those with lower credit scores will really see a dramatic difference in your credit score when you're working this principle. I don't know, there are tons of like articles online, you've probably seen on Instagram and Twitter, of people who are sharing stories of kind of how they magically turned around their credit, and even people who have used, you know, credit repair specialists. And there aren't a lot of secrets really when it comes to your credit score, except these two puppies: paying your credit, or paying your bills, I should say, on time, and keeping your available credit to this 30% marker, so the credit used versus credit available, keeping it to that 30% ratio. Those two little tricks right there are 65% of your credit score. So it's not that the other factors, and there's five factors in your credit score, it's not that the other factors don't have an impact. They do, but they don't have as dramatic of an impact as these two particular items. So if your credit score isn't where you want it to be, or you just want to have a little boost in your score for the summer, you know, look at your credit report, look at your available credit versus credit used, and see if you can figure out a way to pay down some of that debt in order to really boost up your credit score. So a couple other things I just want to talk through really quickly about on kind of your summer money checklist. We all forget about our 401k. Those of us who have a 401k, you know, you just go through the year and your 401k is there and you know that money's going into it, but you're not really thinking about it. So it's just easy to neglect. But the summer is a great time to just start thinking about your 401k, give it a little love, you know, If you haven't done this before, figure out how risky you want to be. Make sure that the funds that you're invested in actually match up with how risky you want to be. There are a ton of online quizzes that you can take where you can find out your risk tolerance, but all of that's really important because you want to make sure that, you know, your portfolio and what you're putting your money in, it's a reflection of who you are. There are also, you know, robo-advisors. We talked about a lot of them. We've had a lot of them on the podcast, you know, whether it's Betterment or Wealthfront. We've talked about Bloom. They've been on the podcast many times that are kind of this amazing service. I really honestly, I don't get paid from them. There's no reason that I should suggest them, except I haven't found anything like this for your 401k. It's 10 bucks a month. They go in, they help you select the funds that are going to match up with your risk tolerance, that are low cost. It is the most cost-effective way to have somebody who is an expert in this help you select a portfolio to maximize your investment. So if you haven't checked out Bloom, I really suggest doing it. It's just, I just think they're like in a league of their own. You know, if you're a freelancer and you don't have access to a 401k, you don't need to freak out. You can easily open up an IRA or a Roth IRA, again, through these companies, Betterment, Wealthfront, Fidelity, TD Ameritrade, like you name it, they all have options for freelancers, for self-employed to set up all sorts of different funds. And I would say, you know, the thing to think about your 401k is, since last summer, have you gotten a raise? Or if you're a freelancer, are you making more money? If the answer is yes, think about giving yourself a raise in your 401k or your IRA, even just a percentage, just one percentage point raise of money that your contributions that you're making into this fund. It's going to make a big difference and you're going to really thank yourself down the line. That I know for sure. The last thing I want to talk to you about is one of these concepts that is kind of boring and it has to be on the summer money checklist, but most people are like, man, I don't want to deal with that. But it's really important and we don't think about this. So it's the idea of making sure that your beneficiaries for all the different money stuff you got are in place, meaning that the money that you want, that you're saving, that you're either bought a life insurance policy for, or money in your investment accounts or your 401k, all of these places where you are storing money or that you're paying for will actually go to the right people that you want them to go to if something were to happen to you. Now, it may seem ridiculous. You might be like, well, of course I would choose the beneficiary that I want, but you would be really, really surprised. I had a friend a couple of years ago who had, I always caution against this, but he had actually named his girlfriend as his beneficiary on his life insurance policy and on his 401k. And unfortunately, he got in a really bad accident and he passed away totally unexpectedly and completely out of the blue. He didn't have a will or anything like that. And he had just gotten married a few months before that. And you know where the story's going. He had not changed his beneficiary. So they were still his ex-girlfriend. And so of course, you have no recourse. Like you can't argue that because it's when you're named the beneficiary, it will pass directly to you. So the money went directly to the girlfriend. And the wife tried to do all sorts of things to convince the girlfriend that, you know, the right thing to do, which really was obviously the right thing to do, was to give her, the wife, the money. And the girlfriend didn't do it. The girlfriend was like, no, you know, he named me his beneficiary. This is who he wanted. And so, you know, I get the money. And so it was a sad story. And it is a sad story. And I'm not laughing about it. I'm just, it's one of those stories that are just like, this can't be true. So it's just a word of caution. Just take a look at your beneficiaries. If you have a life insurance policy, just take a quick little peek. If you have life insurance policy through work, your 401k, your IRA, your Roth, any of these types of investment accounts, look at who you've set up as your beneficiary. If you haven't named one, make sure you name one because otherwise it's ridiculous. But make sure that the one you named is actually who you would want to receive that money. And again, I know this sounds, you know, a bit trivial, but these are kind of the money tasks to be thinking about over the summer that aren't going to make you want to run and hide, that, you know, they're small yet really important to-dos that you can totally accomplish in 10 minutes or an hour here and there. And before you know it, the whole list is going to be completed. And there are lots of other things. There are a million other things you could add. I mean, I could also add like negotiating one of your bills so you got more cash, and then you can put that cash to work towards some of your other goals. There are so many different things that you can add to your money to-do list. So make it your own, come up with some things, make them small, make them easy to accomplish. So you're going to feel motivated to, you know, stay on top of your money. And, you know, before you know it, you're going to find a rhythm that really works for you. And that's what's going to make this stuff approachable and something that you actually want to follow through with. All right, so it's my birthday and the celebration of America, 4th of July.
Yes.
And so I thought it would be fun to have...
Not on the same day, but in the same week, so...
Yes, I thought it would be fun to have
why
Jeff...
Why did your voice get deeper there?
I'm not sure.
Oh, well, that's my voice. I'm sorry.
That is your voice. So anyway, I was saying that it would be fun to have you on the podcast and do a little lightning round of questions that I don't know what you're going to ask me, but... Hopefully people get to know me a little bit better, maybe?
You'd think it'd be fun, wouldn't it? then you did that and went, oh, wait a second. Now, all of a sudden, our listeners dropped off and went, oh, my God, no. What are we doing here?
No, they want to hear. They want to hear the answers,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah, you guys want to get to know Shauna, don't you? I want to get to know Shauna. I don't. It's only been 5 years of marriage almost, so.
Yes.
That contract's being renewed in a few months, so.
Yes, we joke that every anniversary we have to renew
our contract.
Renew our contract.
Yes. Well, I renew it. I just make sure you're doing everything good and everything, so.
Yes.
Because that doesn't sound sexist or anything. Misogynistic or anything like that, so.
No, absolutely.
Yes. So you want to do some lightning round?
Yes, let's do it.
Because we do the lightning round a lot sometimes, you know, with other interviews and stuff like that. So we thought we'd turn the tables and do it on our wonderful host here. So
I'm ready, I think.
You're ready, you think. And the funny thing is, too, we kind of do this as well, too, that I always joke with Shauna about, you know, well, what if my last name was this? Because my name
all the time.
my last name
years.
Is already a strange last name, which is now your last name as well, too. All kinds of things. Like, what if I wore this to the first date? You know, it's kind of a catty game we play. But it's
or
fun.
Stupid? I don't know.
Or very intelligent.
Yes, I'm not sure that would
so
be
we
kind
of play this game anyway. So this is natural. This stuff. So this is just like us sitting around our kitchen table and our kitchen table studio and
being a little wacky.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So first question in lightning round, Shauna birthday lightning round here. What was the last song you listened to?
I don't know the name of it. I started listening
This is par for the course all the time.
I started listening to that.
I'll describe a movie and she'll go, wait, what movie is that? Wait, what do we have on Netflix? Hey, yeah. What's on Amazon? Same movies we have all the time. Well, I don't remember the titles of that.
A bad memory about that kind of stuff.
Yeah. She remembers all the important stuff. I remember all the dumb stuff. So.
It was that that Johnny Swim album that you put on my playlist, but I don't remember I don't know the name of the songs.
On your playlist or your
on my Apple Music.
Okay. All right. So was it on a playlist or
no, it was
the new one with Drew Holcomb?
It was on his album.
Okay, Johnny Swim.
Yes.
Johnny Swim is a duo. A husband and wife duo. So
yes, but I don't remember
okay
what it was.
Okay, well, that's good. Johnny Swim, that's good. It was a good song. Were you grooving to it?
I don't know the lyrics, okay. So it was the first time I was listening. Okay. But
all right.
it was enjoyable.
Okay. You need to listen to them more. They're really good. So, okay. So next question: is it wrong for a vegetarian to eat animal cracker cookies? I'm sorry. Is it wrong for a vegetarian to eat animal crackers?
No, why would it be wrong? It's not an animal on a cracker. It's just a cookie that looks like an animal. But I can understand where a vegetarian might find offense. I am not one. But who doesn't love animal cracker cookies?
Well, what's the difference between animal crackers and animal cracker cookies? Because this says animal cracker. I didn't come up with these questions, by the way. I found these on the interweb, so...
I don't know what the difference is.
Yeah.
McDonald's. Yeah. Remember when McDonald's, this is dating me, but remember when McDonald's used to have the animal crackers in the what's it called?
In the Happy Meals?
In the Happy Meals. Yeah.
That was a long time ago. They have apples and good stuff for kids and milk and all that kind
but
of
maybe
stuff.
Maybe they were called animal cracker
cookies. Well, there's cookies and then I think there's crackers. I think. They think that I'm not sure. I'm not hip to my animal cracker cookie dialogue there. But I think maybe if you don't want to eat the shape of an animal, maybe it's offensive,
okay.
I guess.
I can see where that would be offensive.
I guess, yeah. But that seems like a very politically correct kind of question. So that's why I picked that one.
Great.
I thought that was funny. Okay, so next question is, what was your first celebrity crush?
Oh, gosh.
Can't say animal crackers.
My first celebrity crush, it's very, very embarrassing, was Kenny Rogers.
And why was it Kenny Rogers?
Because I had watched his movie, The Six Pack, right?
Yeah.
And I...
Which is actually a really great movie. Diane Lane and Anthony Michael Hall, or young Anthony Michael Hall from 16 Candles, if you don't know who that is.
It was just, I guess, I really don't know, but something about
his beard,
his hair and his songs. I honestly have no clue.
Did you really enjoy his chicken later on, the Kenny Rogers chicken? And are you in love with Kenny Rogers' new face, or you like his old face better?
I have not had a crush on Kenny Rogers since that time, and I was probably 5
right.
or 6.
Right. But what
I don't know. I don't know.
What was the other reason why you liked Kenny Rogers? Because?
Because I went backstage at his concert in Texas, and my parents told him that I had a crush on him, and they made me... This sounds really bad. They made me sit on his lap and kiss him. Sounds bad, but it was
no.
Very
it doesn't
sweet.
Sound like you should be having, you know, a Me Too moment or anything like that at all.
It wasn't anything yes. like that. It was.
It's
just...
a little weird. It's a little weird that you're sitting on his lap, but he is kind of like Santa Claus. So my favorite thing about this is that. Anybody who doesn't know Kenny Rogers going, well, who the heck are you guys talking about?
They're going to Google it.
You have to Google Kenny Rogers. And then also you have to look up Kenny Rogers' new face because it looks completely different. So he's had a little bit of work. So, you know, he did the Gambler song and Islands in the Stream with Dolly Parton.
What's the one about like... You gotta know when the whole
that would be the Gambler.
That's the Gambler. Okay.
Yes, yes. Yeah, Lucille and yes, all the classic. He is a classic. So I think that's a good celebrity crush. I like that one. So and especially that you made out with Kenny Rogers. So that
didn't make out.
Well, okay, whatever. You know, you sat on his lap. So, okay. So we love to travel.
Yes.
What is the place you would most want to travel? So,
oh,
and you can
gosh.
Only pick. So, this is the game we always play because I always question, well, do you only have two choices? Yes, you only have two choices. This
a
one, you
place,
only have one choice.
A place
one choice.
That I have been to?
No, a place that you have always wanted to most travel. So, it could be a place you've been to, but.
Holy cow.
But you've been there, so. And you can't say Kenny Rogers' lap.
It's not going to be Kenny Rogers' lap. Gosh, this is a impossible choice for me, but I would say Africa. And I've been there.
You've been
but
there.
I've not
you've
been
there.
Everywhere.
Yeah. Okay, so we narrow it down. It's a little bit of a big country.
No, but I haven't been. I've only been to two places in Africa, so I don't really know.
Okay, well, you've been to two of the biggest places, South Africa, Kenya.
I'd love to go back to South Africa. I'd love to go to Uganda.
See the gorillas in Uganda.
I mean, I'd love to go back to Kenya, of course.
Tanzania,
Victoria Falls.
Right. Or Tanzania for English listeners.
We just watched something on the giraffe hotel in Kenya where the giraffes come and stick their head through the window while you're eating breakfast. Right.
That's a must. I mean, we have to, we're for sure going there.
Yeah. So I don't, Africa, I think because it's mysterious, it's completely sort of out of your comfort zone, I guess. And the people are so gracious and humble.
Right.
And they don't have very much at all. And yet, they're so happy, and it's just like it really hits you over the head, like the consumerism that we have. I mean, I, of course, remarked when I came back from Africa that everybody was – that were living in the slums had satellite dishes and cell phones, which was weird to me. But still, people are just so happy, and the land is beautiful. So I'd probably say that.
Right. Well, it's not necessarily slums. They're just, that's just where, how they live and stuff. So
yeah.
It's just different. It's just different from us. So
yeah. But that's an impossible choice because I would probably.
Well, I mean, Africa. Yeah. There's so much to see in Africa. So, I mean, there's so much to even explore in Kenya and South Africa to go back and stuff. So, yeah. So absolutely. So, and that's, I think I've shared this before too, that I always joke with my beautiful wife here that she's, hey, you know, that reminds me of the time where I went to Africa. And oh, you haven't been to Africa yet, have you? Oh, yeah, that's right.
No, I
just
don't.
Comes out of nowhere. It's like, did I ever tell you the time was? Well, we were dating, so I remember you going to Africa. So, yeah, she does it. She shoves it in my face all the time.
And in case you haven't realized, he is very sarcastic. So well, I do not.
Not really, but you know. Okay, so next question. So, again, I found this on the interweb. So, why can't we tickle ourselves?
Oh my God. That's a horrible question. That's,
or you mean great. I'm
glad you didn't ask that after Kenny Rogers. I mean, I guess you can tickle yourself.
Did he tickle you?
No.
Are you sure you don't need to write a Me Too tweet out?
In the wrong direction here with this one.
Kenny Rogers is going to sue us now.
I don't know. I mean, have you ever tried to tickle yourself? It doesn't really work unless somebody else tickles you.
You can't like totally tickle yourself, but you could like, if you ever get like, or like a sunburn or you're maybe hot or something like that. And you kind of like, you could like do that on your body, like, you know, on maybe part that's, you know, like to cool yourself off or something like that. You could do that. So you can kind of like tickle your skin, if you will, but you can't like tickle. Why is that? There has to be a scientific thing.
I think probably is, and I don't know what that is.
It's either a scientific thing or a mental thing.
Yeah,
like
that's gross to tickle yourself, or weird,
right,
or bizarre.
Well, maybe there'd be less depression in the world if we could tickle ourselves, because you just start laughing and stuff.
There might
uncontrollably
be.
So you never know. You know, we're changing lives here. We're changing the world.
Yes, we're talking about why you can't tickle yourself. About
tickling ourselves. I think we should. So, okay. So you are a big tea drinker. You love going to also like a fancy English Irish tea. What's your favorite tea that you'd like to drink?
Oh, it's just green tea. I'm boring, but green tea is my favorite. It's like energy and fat burning all in one.
That's your go-to. But you have other ones too, right?
I love like turmeric tea or really any tea. I like the fruity teas, I think, better than like the – I'm not a coffee drinker, so anything that starts going in that realm doesn't really work for me.
Well, what about the big sweet tea that you get from McDonald's all the time?
He is not telling the truth, because I have not been to McDonald's in probably – 20 years?
Nope, that's not true. We went to McDonald's on my first, not my first birthday, but the first birthday we celebrated together. On the way to San Francisco.
McDonald's is just, as fast food,
it's not your jam.
It's not my jam.
But you enjoyed then, right?
Not really.
And then you secretly crave it all the time.
No, not at all.
I don't think Kenny Rogers or McDonald's are going to be a sponsor on the podcast anytime soon. So, okay. So again, when we played this game before and just you and I personally, and you go, wait, there's only one choice. Yes, there's only one choice.
Oh, okay. Give it to me.
And you are my wife is a sweet tooth fiend, a junkie of, I call her. She gets it from her mom. Mm-hmm. Cake or pie?
Cake.
Really?
Yep. I got one choice. I'm going with cake.
Really? I thought you totally would have said pie.
It's fluffy and you put frosting on it and there aren't too many cakes I will not eat, even if I don't like it.
Except for that cake you ruined one time when you're making for my birthday. You're making it for something, right?
Yes. I ruined a cake and I had a little moment.
You had a meltdown and then I ate the cake with my face then, right?
You did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
I could have sworn you would have said pie.
No.
I mean, I'm a cake person too, but I like a good pie as well. But
no, it's got to be cake. There's right. just nothing that, I mean, like I said, you can have bad cake and it tastes good.
All right. Okay. So we were just on a little bit of an eating plan for the last 21 days, you and I, trying to get in shape, doing more yoga and all that kind of stuff like that. So we lost a little bit of pounds and getting into shape for summer and stuff. So this one, again, one choice here. You got one choice here. We're talking carbs. Mm. Bread, pasta, rice, or potatoes. And potatoes could be French fries. So it could be any of these. Bread, pasta, rice, or potatoes. Which carb are you going with?
This is weird.
we're going to be here a while now.
There's two clear front runners for me. Between bread or potatoes, I always tell people that in heaven, there's going to be unlimited French fries for me. So I think I'm going to have to go potatoes because, I mean, you've got twice baked potatoes, you've got, you know, tater tots, you got French fries, you got waffle fries, you got sweet potato fries. Poutine fries. You got regular potato. You got potato chips.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can go all kinds of different potato chips too. Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, you got potatoes au gratin.
Yeah. Plus, Oprah took all the bread, so she loves bread. She does love bread. I think she has trademarked bread.
Yes.
Oprah loves bread. So, but bread is like a close second, isn't it?
Bread is very.
And,
it's, very,
and it depends
very
on
close.
Where, I mean, if we're in Paris and some yes, like that, or some place or some really great place, then
yes,
right.
It's
exactly.
Just like baguette. Dry yes. bread I'll eat. I'm like, why am I eating this?
Because it's bread and it's good.
I know. Yes.
Okay. So, we don't have one currently, but we're planning to get a new addition to the family. Big dogs or small dogs?
Big dogs.
Why big dogs?
I don't know, but
and you're not talking about me, right?
No. I don't know. I just like, I mean, not ginormous, not like greyhound dog, but
greyhounds aren't that big.
Maybe medium size. I know that wasn't a part of the question. But definitely I would go to bigger
dogs.
You
mean like, no, you know, Marmaduke or...
No.
Yeah,
no.
Some giant
horse
dog.
Ride.
Yes, yes.
But I would say then, you know, bigger than small dogs.
Right. Small dogs, again, not your jam.
No, I just... Yeah, they're just not. I just want a dog I can go to the park with and cuddle with and...
Right. And doesn't die when they're walking and stuff.
Yeah.
And you've narrowed it. We don't have one. We have an imaginary dog all the time. So have not gotten one. But you've narrowed it down to two dogs you like, right?
Yes. The Golden Retriever.
Two types of dogs, yes.
Which I love, but they're very furry. So my nose probably wouldn't love, and my clothes, because we have a lot of black clothes.
And we have allergies, and yes. We're both allergic to cats, but...
But if you want to brighten your day, just look up Golden Retriever Puppy. I mean, hours of entertainment.
Did you see the one I tagged you on Instagram today? They're in the life vest on the boat.
I did.
Yes.
And
people are like listening. What the hell are they talking about now?
And the Bernedoodle, which is a mix of a Bernese Mountain Dog, which is beautiful, but again, furry dog, and a poodle. So you kind of get the hypoallergenic, much better for us dog. And they look a little bit like a Muppet dog, I guess we call them. But
you just stole my joke there. But it is like you told me. I mean, Golden Retriever has always been the one I've always wanted to go to. It's your classic dog. They're awesome. They're great. They're great puppies. And when you told me about that, Bernese dog is really great. And but a poodle, I was like, no, I don't want a poodle. Who wants a poodle? But you said they don't shed and everything. It looks like a Muppet dog. They are like the most adorable dogs, and they're supposed to be really good dogs too, right?
Yes.
So we have to figure out like which one we really want and stuff. But big dogs for sure is what you're saying.
Yeah. So let's maybe do like one more. Like, what's your best last question?
Okay, so last question here in our lightning round that maybe has not turned into so much lightning now. If you had a DeLorean time machine and you're going to go back into time in one particular period of time, what period of time would you go back into, Marty McFly?
In my lifetime or ever?
Ever. Ever. It's time. It's the past and everything. So you can go any time. You can go Back to the Future in the 50s, Back to the Future 2 in the future, or you can go in the future too, or you can go Back to Future 3 in the Western times, you know, whatever.
I think I would probably go back to probably the early 60s maybe. And only because, not that that was such a great time in U.S. history, but...
We're not in the best of times right now, so...
Yeah, but I think because that was such a... There were so many things that happened during that time.
Right.
And I know this sounds like weird, but I think it sort of felt like a loss of innocence time in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And
totally.
I just wonder, what would that have felt like to... be alive in that time, but also on the flip side, to have kind of the music revolutions and, even just the dress. I mean, people, women still dressed up to go out and, it was,
if you went to ball games and boxing matches and stuff like that, people would dress up. So yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I think I would probably go back to then just out of pure curiosity to see what the heck was going on.
Yeah. That's a good one. That's good. I thought maybe you would say the 1950s in Paris, but.
Oh, that would probably be a good one too, but I don't know.
There's lots of choices. That's good. Yeah. That was it. That was all my questions I had.
That was all your questions.
Yeah.
So all we have left to do is, we will have already enjoyed the 4th of July. Yeah. So all we have left to do is.
Say happy birthday. Everyone all together. Happy birthday to Shauna. Happy birthday to Shauna. Happy birthday to Shauna. Happy birthday to you.